Welcome, cowpokes and folks, to the Morning Ag News for today, October 16th, on the Colorado Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio. This is Tucker Ulmer, and here's what's making it to the top of the barn in Ag News this Wednesday morning, and it's presented by the Colorado Farm Bureau. Farm bill rumors have surfaced anew as lawmakers look past the upcoming election to a lame duck Congress. Much will depend on the outcome of the election and which parties control the House and Senate. But Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says rumors about a last-minute farm bill have resurfaced.
Some work between the House and Senate agriculture committees that maybe a compromise could be worked out and passed just before we go home at Christmas.
But Grassley says those talks are being led by ranking Senate Ag Republican John Bozeman, with an emphasis on getting more farm in the farm bill.
Which means more support for reference prices, which are too low compared to the inflation we've had in input costs.
But given the months-long partisan stalemate over farm versus nutrition spending and a short lame duck schedule, Grassley expects another one-year extension of the 2018 farm bill.
Other things we have to do, like the defense bill and all 12 appropriation bills, it just doesn't seem to me there's going to be time for a farm bill.
But another year-long extension has its own drawbacks, and not just no updated subsidy floors.
It kind of takes the pressure off of Congress to get something done, but I'm still going to repeat what I said. For Chuck Grassley, it's going to be a top priority. We've got to move quickly with a farm bill, so that would be hopefully before the Easter recess.
But this Congress or next, margins will likely still be narrow, and Grassley says the new farm bill must be bipartisan to pass. In other news, Farmers for Free Trade, the National Trade Advocacy Coalition, including America's largest ag and food associations, released a reaction to new trade analysis from the National Corn Growers Association and the American Soybean Association. The analysis evaluates the impacts of a trade war on soybeans and corn, two of America's leading ag exports. Bob Hemesith is the board president for Farmers for Free Trade and says the analysis shows that American corn and soybean farmers would be devastated by the reemergence of a trade war. The very real possibility that tariffs rise sharply would mean corn exports to China drop by well over 80% and soy exports would drop by half, Hemesith says. The analysis also shows that a trade war would reduce U.S. soybean and corn prices, which would harm rural economies across the country. He also says a trade war would be a gift to international competitors. We're going to step away with a word from our sponsors, but coming up after this, some more ag news. The Managed Grazing for Better Soil and Plant Health Workshop with Jim Garrish, October 29th at the West Greeley Conservation District office in Greeley, Colorado. Limited space is available. Please RSVP by October 18th. For more information, visit the website of WGCD.org. The West Greeley Conservation District, helping landowners be good stewards of the land.
Farming is more than your investment. It's your way of life. Let Premier Farm Credit help mitigate the risk with multi-peril crop insurance. With 50 years experience, we offer fast, reliable service that will make protecting your investment easy. Give us a call at 522-5295 or look us up at premieraca.com. Premier Farm Credit, the gold standard. Premier Farm Credit Insurance is an equal opportunity provider.
Sorting through the myths and misinformation to find facts about farming and food can be overwhelming. Colorado Farm Bureau has made the job easier for you by collecting credible answers to your most asked questions about food. Learn more about Colorado food and agriculture at mycoloradofood.com.
Welcome back into the Morning Ag News segment. It's again presented by the Colorado Farm Bureau. The USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service will host its first ever trade mission to Bangkok, Thailand, February 3rd through the 6th of 2025. Current and potential exporters interested in participating should apply for consideration by October 29th. The mission represents an opportunity for our farmers, ranchers, producers, and agribusinesses to connect with potential trade partners from both Thailand and Burma, says Daniel Whitley, administrator of the FAS. Consumers in these markets are ready to stock their pantries with world-class, high-quality food and farm products offered by U.S. exporters that joined the trip in February. The U.S. was the fifth largest supplier of agricultural products to Thailand in 2023, with $1.2 billion in exports. The top U.S. exports were bulk commodities used for feed and food manufacturing, but there are strong opportunities for consumer-oriented products as well. Thailand boasts the fourth highest per capita income in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. For information or to apply, go to fas.usj.gov. In other news, a recent analysis of the drivers of supply and demand for veterinarian services shows that the number of graduates from existing veterinarian colleges is likely enough to meet demand through 2035. The conclusion comes after a study commissioned by the American Veterinarian Medicine Association. The projections in this analysis do not justify a conclusion of overall excess capacity or a capacity shortage by 2035. Meantime, the population of veterinarians is likely to grow faster than pet-owning households if all 13 proposed vet schools become accredited. With 33 colleges already recognized by the AVMA, Council on Education, this would represent almost a 40% increase in the next 10 years. Vet visits are declining from a peak achieved in 2021 and 2022. Data shows prices for those veterinarian services have been increasing as well. The Vet Industry Tracker says that's caused a slowdown in the volume of vet services. And finally, on the heels of one of the warmest summers on record, AccuWeather long-range experts are forecasting a mild winter with above-average temperatures in three dozen states. The U.S. recently had its warmest winter season on record last December through February, and much of the country will see mild temps again. We will likely have a weak La Nina for most of this winter, says long-range forecaster Paul Paslock. We expect a storm track to dive south into California this winter, which can result in periods of mild air moving across the central and eastern U.S. at times. However, with a weak signal of La Nina, some cold can push into the Midwest and Northeast. Based on data from previous winters with a similar setup, Paslock says February is the most likely month for the polar vortex to usher in a blast of bitterly cold air across the eastern United States. Well, that's going to do it for today's stories. For more information on these, plus the latest national, regional, and more Colorado Ag news, you can open the barn doors online at barnmedia.net. Have a wonderful Wednesday, and thanks for making the barn part of it.